Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. About, oh my gosh, we're going to move the clocks back. What's it going to mean? Well, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine says it will throw off your internal clock, right? So your internal clock will be thrown out of whack. And listen to this.
The time change brings less sleep, resulting in more heart attacks, strokes, thousands more car accidents, and 300 deaths each year.
My gosh. So, full chaos.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 6:12 on this Friday morning, do you think it was the forecast?
It could have been.
Is that what happened?
It very well could have been.
Trying to explain why there's a huge stage going up on the lakefront at Veterans Park. All indications were that that was going to be the location for Vice President Harris and her rally in Milwaukee. In fact, Urban Milwaukee even reported that the permits pulled for electric and some of the other things in the city were pulled by the Harris campaign.
Right, yeah. Which would indicate concert or speech or speeches.
But now that event is going to be, and this is confirmed now, when the vice president does her rally, when she appears at 9 p.m., that will be at the Expo Center at Wisconsin State Fair Park.
Okay.
So then what gives with the stage?
Do you use both? I mean, you're not using both, are you?
Can't split your thing, right? Otherwise, everybody go to the concert and nobody's going to the politics, right?
Is there that much fundraising money to go around? We're just going to throw up a stage you don't use?
Yeah, we may or may not use this, right? Or is there yet another visit? There's nothing on the schedule from the vice president or from the former president, for that matter, who is at Fiserv Forum tonight. His time has changed from 7 to 8 o'clock now.
It sounds like the event may start around 7-ish. We're hearing 8 o'clock now for the former president at Fiserv.
So either campaign could still make a last-minute dip through Wisconsin Sunday or Monday, perhaps. I mean, there are events on their schedules already, and we're not on it, but maybe it's that.
Wouldn't it be great if they bumped into each other, like on Water Street or something? Just, oh, hey.
Hey.
Oh, you're here, too.
Did you book this? We booked Water Street. When did you book this?
You're looking well.
I don't believe that's happening.
No.
But either way, pretty epic day in and around Milwaukee. So you had the vice president taking the stage 9 o'clock. That's at Wisconsin State Fair Park. Former President Trump expected to be on stage at 8 p.m. That's at Fiserv Forum. People are already in line for that event.
Mm-hmm. They're already lining up.
6:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Okay, so now are we sounding the alarm?
Yes. Going?
Come on. Yeah, not good. Bucks lose again. 1-4 to start the season. The headline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reads, "Sputtering Bucks continue frigid shooting." So that about sums up the game. The Bucks fall to the Grizzlies 122-99. At one point, Memphis, on the second day of a back-to-back, by the way, went on a 19-1 run early in the game. So how does that happen, Dame Lillard?
We missed a lot of shots.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Lillard had 4 points in the game. Giannis led the way with 37, had 11 boards. Brooke Lopez on the team struggles.
We're going to figure this out eventually, you know. Obviously, it'd be better, it'd be greater. It's going to work out for us better in the end if we figure it out sooner. But, you know, we're going to be a different team in March. You know, obviously, we want that to end up happening sooner. But, you know, again, we know what we're capable of. We know who we are.
Fair enough. Bucks are back home tomorrow night. Not going to be much easier, though. They play the undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers at Fiserv Forum.
That's the thing. Look, if I fully believe this is they're on a path to be a better team in March. Look, we've seen we win a million games in the regular season and then run out of gas
That's
in the playoffs.
True. You're right.
Mm-hmm. You just have to be hot then. You have to make the tournament and get hot. So I accept that. But are there any signs that this team has any idea of who they even are?
No.
Watched a little of the game. It's, you know, a little of this, missed shot. Giannis decides, I guess I have to do this all by myself. He's going gate to gate,
sometimes
trying to make something happen.
Out of control when doing so.
Flopping all over.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Bucks and Lions on Sunday. Quarterback Jordan Love did practice Thursday, although Coach Matt LaFleur said he was
limited today.
He was limited as he recovers from the groin injury. So how did he practice, Coach?
Like he was limited.
Oh, okay. So limited. What exactly does limited mean?
Limited means limited.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Okay, so Jordan Love was limited in practice.
Mm.
Will go if he can go on Sunday. May have to fight through some pain. Coach did offer this. You know, once we hit halftime Sunday, we're going to be through half of the season for the Packers already. Bye week coming up, and everybody needs a break.
Yeah, I think all these guys are fighting through stuff right now, to be honest with you. I mean, it's that type of that time of the season, and very few guys aren't fighting through something.
Yeah, 325 kick, 70% chance of rain in Green Bay Sunday with a high of just 56 degrees.
Thursday night football, Jets and Titans, and Al Michaels on Amazon Prime came in hot ripping on the Jets.
It's Halloween night. If you're a Jets fan, you have seen this horror movie before.
Oh, yep, thank you. Yep. He had a lot of those. He also made fun of their dark jerseys they were wearing. He made fun of the fact that at halftime they didn't look that good.
No truth to the rumor that in the Jets locker room at halftime they were playing Hello Darkness, My Old Friend.
Oh, hey, yes, everything. I don't know if you could hear that.
He worked for that one a little bit.
Anyway, the Jets won. Aaron Rodgers threw three touchdowns. They beat the Titans, believe it or not, 21-13.
Five and three Badgers, 5-3 Hawkeyes. Wisconsin at Iowa Saturday night. That's a 6:30 kick. And on the air tonight, right here on WTMJ, we have Badgers volleyball, number two team in the land, Nebraska at Wisconsin. 8 p.m. start time at the Fieldhouse. And we get you started with a pregame show at 7:30.
By the way, I did misspeak. I said Titans. I meant Texans. They played the Texans last night.
Today, for most voters, is the last day you can vote in-person absentee before the election. Legally, the process can continue in Wisconsin through Sunday. But most clerks across the state do not have weekend voting hours. All right, so if you still want to vote before Election Day and you don't have an absentee ballot in hand that you've had mailed to you, got to check with your local clerk's office for times and location. For the most part, in-person absentee voting ends today. Now, City of Milwaukee, 10 locations for early voting. All of them have Saturday hours, and five still have hours on Sunday.
I took my high school senior yesterday because he's 18 now, so he got to vote for the very first time. And I was surprised at how long the registration line was.
Oh, that's interesting.
And these did not appear to be young voters.
Not everybody was just turned 18?
No. So more and more people casting a ballot this time around.
Already more than 1.2 million people have voted in Wisconsin. So that's in-person absentee. It's absentee ballots that have been mailed back in or those collected by clerks at drop boxes across the state. So that's about a third of the total vote that we would expect in the state has already cast a ballot. For those who have yet to vote, another look at WTMJ from WTMJ's Adam Roberts as he continues his What's on My Ballot series.
The polls.
With less than 1 week to go until Election Day, over 1.25 million absentee ballots have already been returned to county clerks across Wisconsin. Still, there are those who will make their ways to the polls in person on November 5th. So let's examine what you can expect when you head off to cast your ballot.
Get out and vote!
Our next stop are the WOW counties, Washington, Ozaukee, and Washington. The three suburban Milwaukee regions have historically voted Republican, but in the past two election cycles have begun to turn more purple. In addition to the race for president, several congressional seats are up for grabs in the counties, both in the Senate and the U.S. House. On the Senate side, incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin faces her challenge from Republican Eric Hovde, as well as two independent candidates, Phil Anderson and Thomas Leager. There were no third-party candidates in 2018 when Senator Baldwin defeated Leah Vukmir for the seat. In the House, Republican incumbent Brian Steil defends his District 1 seat against Democrat Peter Barca and the Green Party's Chester Todd. District 5 includes parts of Waukesha and Washington counties and pits Scott Fitzgerald, the incumbent Republican, against Ben Steinhoff. And District 6, which encompasses much of Ozaukee County, pits Glenn Grothman against Democratic challenger John Zarbano.
If you're ready, vote now.
Switching over to state elections, possibly the closest assembly race in the WOW counties could be in District 22, which encompasses much of Ozaukee and parts of southeast Washington counties. There, Republican Paul Melotic takes on a challenge from Democrat Dana Glasstein. Another race combining parts of Ozaukee and Washington counties in District 59 pits Republican Robert Brooks against Democrat Jack Holzman. In other Washington County races, longtime Assemblyman Dan Knodel is currently serving in the state Senate, but will be running for a seat in District 24 of the Assembly, taking on Democrat William Walter. In District 58, incumbent Republican Rick Gundren takes on Democrat Deb Anderson, and in a race that combines parts of Washington and Waukesha counties in District 98, Republican Jim Pawarczyk faces a challenge from Democrat Del Schmeckel. In Ozaukee County, Deb Andraka serves as a rare Democrat incumbent in the Wow counties. She faces a challenge in District 23 from Republican Lori O'Brien Wolf. Meanwhile, in Waukesha County, other than Pawarczyk v. Schmeckel, all races in the Assembly feature a Republican incumbent. In District 15, Adam Nalen takes on Democrat Sarah Harrison. In District 82, Scott Allen faces Kevin Riley. District 83 pits Dave Maxey against Jill Schindler. District 84 sees Chuck Wickers taking on Zachary Roper. And in District 97, Cindy Dukow faces Beth Leonard. In the state Senate, Dewey Strobel's 8th District encompasses parts or all of all three Wow counties. He faces a challenge from Democrat Jody Habish-Senekin. While in Ozaukee County's District 20, Dan Fian takes on Democrat Michael Rapp. And in Waukesha County's District 28, incumbent Republican Julian Bradley takes on Democrat Megan Locke. Finally, in addition to the statewide non-citizen voting referendum question, as well as local municipal elections, four Wow County school districts, including Arrowhead, Hartford, West Bend, and Northern Ozaukee, will all take on school referendum questions. Adam Roberts, WTMJ News.
We have a complete rundown of all the election information that you could possibly need. You just visit the Decision Wisconsin section of WTMJ.com. 1-4. We've got sports coming up at 6:45.
I know we've done a lot of stories and had a lot of discussions about different ways offices are trying to bring workers back to the office, right? Or different ways to make it more interesting and more fun and have workers be more productive.
Yes.
We always make the joke of beanbags, right?
The beanbag sitters.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, we have beanbags in the office place.
Yeah, so it's more fun then, right?
Flop anywhere.
Casual.
Just do your work
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I'm going to sit on this beanbag and use my laptop. Well, what about if you had a roller coaster in your office?
What do you mean in your office?
The Great Exhibition, a newly rebranded creative studio in Stockholm, Sweden, has introduced the Frontal Lobe, the world's only indoor office roller coaster. If you are looking on our live stream on YouTube, on WTMJ stream there, you can see video of this roller coaster that's about 200 feet long that goes through the office, through the cafeteria. People are working as this track winds around some of the spaces. You can see it, right?
I want this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Here in the office?
So as you're working and concentrating on something, all of a sudden you're hearing this. All right. No, someone.
That part would have to be outside the office, but yeah.
Jerry, he's getting on it again?
Yeah, he is.
He's riding the roller coaster.
That's all that guy does is ride the coaster all day. For my TPS reports.
Right. I'm not sure who it's for, like who would be riding it per se. You can't do any work on it. I don't know if it comes with a carny. I don't know if there's like a carnival guy.
The operator?
Yeah.
What if he's just like at the fair? Guy's burning a dart, just like one at a time.
He's yelling at you.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can see the video on our live stream right now. It sounds like it'd be fun for about a day.
Yeah, and then just annoying. And then, right, to your earlier point, who's riding it a little bit too much and not doing enough work? And then at the quarterly meeting, we're hearing about, productivity is down.
And coffee.
Spend a little too much time on the roller coaster.
The coffee maker hardly works at the office.
How this are you is gonna true. Get, I don't know if I trust it then.
It'd be broken all the time. No? So you're out?
At least the carnies would have a dental plan.
Oh, right.
Out on the roller coaster. 6:39 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
I just want to scream hello.
Something is happening this weekend that is going to change everything. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect your friends, your family. It's going to affect your pets, if you have any. Your cat could even be affected. Vince? All right, so it's time to move the clocks back. And this is always such a big conversation. There's always lawmakers that like to spout off about this stuff, too. About, oh my gosh, we're going to move the clocks back. What's it going to mean? Well, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine says it will throw off your internal clock. All right, so your internal clock will be thrown out of whack. And listen to this.
The time change brings less sleep, resulting in more heart attacks, strokes, thousands more car accidents, and 300 deaths each year.
My gosh. Full chaos. This is Sunday right now. This is what it's going to be. Dogs and cats, everyone going nuts. The pots will be banged. Can we settle down a little bit? We've all changed to different time zones before. We've driven or flown into other time zones. We've all flown overseas.
Yeah, you go to Grand Rapids today, you're off an hour.
We've
right?
all adapted. I think we'll be okay. It's a nice distraction for the election maybe, but I don't think it's going to be quite that bad.
And actually, in fall, you pick up an hour.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Right? So we go back to standard time. We end daylight saving time.
Oh, my goodness.
And fall back. A little bit tougher in spring. And right, there's a day or two where you're like, not used to going to bed at this time. Or all of a sudden, you feel tired because you're losing an hour there.
I'm going to check back with you in a week. We'll see if you're still struggling.
If I'm okay.
Yeah, we're still struggling with this. And if we've had thousands of people have heart attacks and thousands of crashes from changing the clock back.
Airliners dropping out of the sky.
Yeah, I don't know.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Okay, so not the best start in the world for your Milwaukee Bucks. They struggle again. They lose again, falling to the Grizzlies 122-99. This game never even really that close after Memphis went on a 19-1 run in the first quarter. Here's how that sounded.
This is the problem. Milwaukee continues to get outscored from three-point range.
Yeah, just gotten hit over and over, Dave Kane there. Yeah, so the Bucks now 1-4.
Losing, it's frustrating.
Giannis says, yeah, it's frustrating. Hasn't looked good. He's not giving up, though.
My dad used to say, why whine if you're not going to give up? So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to try to, you know, come with my teammates together and go try to get a game at home against Cleveland. So I'm not going to, you know, whine about it and feel bad about myself.
Giannis bagging oranges there during the interview.
Was he really?
No, just sounded like it. Sounded like something was going on. Anyway, his point being, hey, can't whine about it. Let's just fix it. He's not going to give up on it. Doesn't get any easier, though. The Bucks host the 5-0 Cavaliers tomorrow at Fiserv Forum. We will have that game right here on WTMJ.
This is an individual honor, but Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley credits the entire defense.
When you play good defense together and you have success and you win games, guys are going to get rewarded, and he deserves to be rewarded.
He is Xavier McKinney. The reward, Packers safety, is your NFC Defensive Player of the Month.
There you go.
Eric, bold predictions. Bilstead said he'd have 10 picks on the season. He's at 6 already. And I hope you like it, because Hafley says you're going to get a lot more of it.
The growth that he's had, too, I mean, I can already see it. He's become one of the best leaders on our team. He's one of the best practice players on our team. He's got an unbelievable attitude. He's always studying, and he's young. I don't even think we've seen close to how good this guy is going to be.
Yes, sir.
That make you excited? Don't you want to run through a wall for Hafley?
Yeah, absolutely.
No wonder this defense is better. I mean, we have some other pieces and whatever, but this cat, you go to war for him. Mm-hmm. Quarterback Jordan Love did practice on Thursday. Head coach Matt LaFleur called his participation.
He was limited today.
No decision on whether Love will play Sunday as he recovers from the groin injury. Kickoff against the Lions, 3:25.
Thursday night football, Jets and Texans. Aaron Rodgers, lots of the conversation between Al Michaels and Kirk there on Herb Street on Amazon Prime. Listen to what Michael said. Apparently before, you know, they always talk to the players beforehand, like they have meetings with all the
little sit down
with
the
main players or whatever.
Yeah.
He talked about how like Rodgers is telling them all kinds of stuff about how they're going to run the table, yada, yada.
He was in a way convincing, telling us that he knew a path.
Very thorough.
Very thorough. Went through the entire schedule. He was, you know, Aaron, he can sell you a few things. So I went out and I was going to buy the Brooklyn Bridge after that conversation.
Whoa.
But I settled for the Williamsburg.
Whoa. Yikes. Anyway, they did win. Rodgers threw three touchdowns, and the Jets win 21-13.
And for your Badgers update, we've got Badger football at Iowa, both teams at 5-3. That's a 6:30 kick tomorrow. And Badgers volleyball on WTMJ tonight, 7:30 pregame, 8 p.m. start time at the Fieldhouse. And what a rivalry. Nebraska, the number two team in the land in Madison for that 8 p.m. match. At 6:53, bringing in our friend from ESPN Milwaukee, Gabe Neitzel, on this Friday morning. Two schools of thought on Jordan Love with groin injury. You got the bye week coming up after we have the Lions on Sunday. So either you rest him and you say, well, then he has 2 full weeks to recover from this groin injury, or you play him because you got the bye next week and then it'll be all good.
I lean towards not playing him. Groins are just so incredibly tricky. And when you take a look at the injury, like when he finally decided to come out, because he suffered the injury earlier in the game, and then he said on Wednesday that he wasn't told by the coaching staff to go down as he got closer to the sideline. Like, he just went down because he was in that much pain. He just kind of got bumped. Like, there was no obvious, like, oh, when he had his knee injury in against Philly in Sao Paulo, everyone, oh. You could see it. You could see the knee kind of buckling. You're going, uh-oh. Hopefully that's not too bad. This was just, he got bumped, and it just kind of torqued his body the wrong way, and the groin kind of affected him. So to me, if the groin is affecting him at all when he's going through warm-ups, as he's going through practice, I don't think you take the risk of playing him. And I don't want to downplay the significance of this game, because it is a big game. It is a big game. But it's also the beginning of November. You play the Lions again. It's going to be as big, if not bigger, of a game in December. And if he goes out there and injures this thing even further and is out 3 to 4 weeks, that's more devastating than losing this game to the Lions. You're still 6-3 going into the bye, a really good spot. Yes, some ground to make up with Detroit then, because they would have the tiebreaker, a 2-game lead on you in the division, but you would have time to make that up over the last 8 games.
Total agreement on that, right? And also, it's not like Malik Willis isn't pretty solid.
Yeah, the problem with that, though.
okay, all right. So, right. Am I fan guy? Like, well, I don't know if the guy's won. He has won.
And I mean, he came in. We talked about it when they traded for him. Like, there was nobody who had a good word to say about Malik Willis. Like, even former teammates going, yeah, this guy just doesn't know ball.
Nice guy.
Really nice guy. And then he comes out and plays incredibly well. The defenses he's had to face, oddly enough, 3 AFC South teams. Who are all horrific at defense, right? And the Packers took advantage, and they protected Malik. He only threw 5 passes. They threw the ball 20 times in the first half with Jordan Love. They threw it 5 times in the second half with Malik Willis against Jacksonville. They limited the game plan in terms of throwing the football and asking what they were doing. This Detroit defense, you need to be more dynamic. They're going to have to, in order to win that game, they're not just going to be able to go, hey, let's run it a bunch. Let's run it 32 times with Josh Jacobs. The Lions are pretty good run defense. They'd be able to slow that down.
Does who you think wins this game change depending on who's at quarterback for Green Bay?
It does. I think that the Packers, with Jordan Love, that gives them their best opportunity to win, because they're going to have to attack the secondary. They're going to have more balance, try to do some stuff off the play action. And that's the other thing. In order for this offense to run at its highest potential, Jordan needs to be healthy. And having a leg injury like a groin, because they love to run those stretch runs and then boot actions off of that play action, that's where they get a lot of their big plays, where they're running and marrying what they do with him being under center and marrying the run look with then turning it into a pass. That's something that is a little bit concerning. And the fact that it's potentially going to be rainy and slippery, and that doesn't make me feel great about somebody who has potentially a groin injury. But look, if he decides he's good enough to go, then that's on them. Like, okay, then let's roll the dice. And anytime somebody gets close to him, I'm going to be holding my breath on Sunday, that's for sure.
70% chance of rain in Green Bay on Sunday with a high of 56 degrees.
And I will say this about Detroit. As good as they have been, and their offense has been fantastic, the one thing that gives me hope, especially about that offense and slowing it down in this game, Jared Goff's splits, if you want to take your own time and look it up, inside a dome and outside in his career.
Put him in the elements.
Drastically different. Yep. The dude is bad outside. Bad.
Here we go.
Get injured.